4%. Sonoma County has been more up than down this year in its occupancy rates compared to 2017. Senator Dodd reflecting 1 year ago.
A year ago, we had the North Bay firestorms, and that really incredibly impacted four counties besides ours right here in Napa. And nobody did a particularly good job of early warning at all. Of course, we had a lot of challenges. When the power goes out, it goes out to the cell towers. When the cell towers get burned and the fiber optic cables melt, communication kind of drops out altogether. So we didn't really do a very good job.
Napa Valley College will host a joint legislative hearing on insurance and wildfires with Senator Dodd. He'll be joined by leaders of the Assembly and Senate insurance committees. It's October 30th. They'll examine whether homeowners insurance coverage has been sufficient to rebuild for those affected by the fire. And some Valley of the Moon headlines. Glen Ellen's real estate market is proving fireproof. Aaron Hawkins has been named co-director for Hanna Institute. And MidPen has broken ground on senior apartments in Sonoma. For more on these stories, go to SonomaNews.com. Napa in the North Bay, you are up to date. I'm Nate Campbell. That's the news.
At Redwood Credit Union, we deliver banking that helps you focus on today and plan for tomorrow. Because achieving success takes working together. So we offer solutions to make your life easier, like free checking with rewards, affordable loans and credit cards, and convenient anytime access. It's banking with great value from here for you, because this community is our home too. Redwood Credit Union, for all that you love. Federally insured by NCUA.
And the time now is 8:34 here at KVON, and let's get back into things here, quickly checking out the market situation. We have somewhat of a less bleak outlook for the Dow right now. The Dow is down 400 points. That's 1.6%. We have the NASDAQ still struggling a bit more than the other indices, down 1.8%, and the S&P is off 1.6 right now. It's been worse than this at different times in this first 2 hours of trading today, so we'll see where we go from here. But again, currently major declines on all the indices after some earnings reports that the market wasn't happy with and trouble in the Asian markets overnight. On to our weather forecast. We see a beautiful day shaping up, pleasantly warm, but not too warm. 73 for a high today. A couple of degrees warmer tomorrow. A couple of degrees more Thursday and Friday. We're up to the low 80s again by the weekend. Right now, very cool and somewhat foggy out at the airport. The official Napa temperature just 41 degrees right now. Traffic-wise, it's been the usual round of troubles over at the truck scales and the connectors on I-80. Right now, we're seeing a collision report eastbound 12 at Boys Boulevard on Highway 12 there in Sonoma Valley. That's about all on the North Bay screen that's new right now. So we'll leave it at that. You're on your own. 8:35 now, and we're turning our attention away from local politics for a while to the world of wine and a particularly involving story that's developed just in the last couple of weeks. And joining us now via telephone is the San Francisco Chronicle wine writer Esther Mobley. Esther, thanks for being on the show today.
Hi, Barry. Good morning.
Now, you broke this story, as I understand, just a couple of weeks ago, right? The master sommelier scandal that's still being talked about?
Yeah, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago today that we learned about it.
Fascinating. This is something that's never occurred before, and this is a pretty refined and, you know, a small area of focus even within the larger wine industry. Can you explain it for somebody listening who hasn't heard about the story, doesn't know what we're talking about?
Yeah, so the story concerns the Master Sommelier Exam, which is an examination that's only ever been passed by about just a little over 250 people since 1969. So it's a very difficult test to pass. It's not a job requirement to be a sommelier. You know, anyone working in a restaurant serving wine could call him or herself a sommelier. So the people who undergo this really long, rigorous examination process, many people study for it for decades. Many people take it 6, 7, 8, 9 times year after year until they pass. The people who have attempted this are a really elite, small, dedicated group. And what happened was this year's exam, which happened in September in St. Louis, saw 24 new master sommeliers crowned. That's a really high record-breaking number. And everyone thought, wow, that's a lot of people. Then, basically, just a little over a month later, the Court of Master Sommeliers, which is the organization that administers the exam, announced that they would be revoking the new Master Sommelier titles of 23 of the 24 who had passed in September, citing evidence of cheating. And all they told us was that an existing Master Sommelier, who they've still not named publicly, they won't confirm the name for us, had participated in some sort of cheating. Again, various outlets have reported different things, but we actually still don't have confirmation of what precisely took place. And so they said that that Master Sommelier would be losing his or her title, and the people who had passed in September but whose tests were now deemed invalid will have a chance to retake it.
So has it been said or indicated that these 23 people all were beneficiaries of getting some of the answers to the test beforehand, as it were, or having their information narrowed down for them in some way? Is that the indication that all 23 of these people knowingly took part in cheating?
No, certainly not. We don't know how many people took part in cheating, and the court hasn't said anything. It could be one person. It could be all 23. I highly doubt it. My sense is that it may not actually be so black and white. You know, if some information was leaked, I think it's hard to know how far it leaked. And even if there is evidence of this, you know, two people talking, I don't know, it may be in an email. This is just my speculation. Again, this hasn't been confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
It may be hard to prove how deeply the information leaked.
Whether people were able to put information to advantage or not, there's more questions than there are answers about
right.
The details of this, right?
Right.
I guess the bigger question becomes, why does it matter? Obviously, to the people who are trying to achieve this goal and become a master sommelier, it matters a lot in that very narrow range. In the wine industry in a larger way, in restaurant wine service circles, what's the impact of this?
Well, it's really interesting. I think people are interpreting it in a lot of different ways. One universally shared sentiment among people who are familiar with the Court of Master Sommeliers and converse in the world of wine is simply shock. This is a kind of self-governing group of people who subject themselves to the Master Sommelier examination process, view it as really sacred. It's this really important thing to them. It's a real source of someone's identity. And I'm not involved. I've never taken a sommelier exam, I should say. But to someone like me, I'm surprised that anyone who has willingly joined such a little elite, small group would violate its codes. So there's a sense that this organization that seemed kind of previously imperturbable now maybe isn't what it always seemed. However, I will also say that in the weeks since the scandal has broken, the reaction to it has turned, I think, a little bit farcical, with people in the sommelier community mourning the 23 invalidated titles as if someone had died.
Mm.
People have started Kickstarter campaigns to try to help fund wine purchases for the master sommeliers who will now have to retake the exam, because it's expensive, as you might imagine, to buy a lot of wine and study with it. So I think there's this new documentary out now, Somm 3,
uh-huh.
The third installment of this Somm documentary series, which is premiering in San Francisco on Thursday. So I just think there's a chance for this to turn a little bit humorous.
That's a kind way of putting it. Definitely for people outside the wine industry looking in, saying, "Who are these silly people?"
Right.
Yeah, we had.
And how seriously do you take it?
Yeah, exactly. We had Jason Wise on the show, in fact, last week, talking about Psalm 3. And I recently just watched the first Psalm movie just a few months ago. I'd never gotten around to it. I found it to be an excellent documentary, really low budget, small movie with, in the way I like documentaries to be. It's about the people and the subject matter, and it's not fancy. But it certainly opens up the world of, these ultimate wine geeks, I say lovingly, with, so much energy and time and money and their potential livelihoods on the line. What I understand is with this master designation, you can make about twice as much money as a sommelier as you would without it?
Yeah, the organization GuildSomm, which is a kind of nonprofit trade organization for sommeliers, not connected to the Court of Master Sommeliers, they every year publish a salary survey of their members, and I'm not looking at the numbers right now, but the average advanced sommelier, which is the title just below Master Sommelier, makes on average something like $85,000, and the average Master Sommelier makes something closer to $160,000. So certainly, people see new job opportunities, promotions, raises, and I think the Psalm documentary series has really put the world of sommeliers in a new spotlight. Mm-hmm. That initial exam, whose tagline was something like "the hardest test you've never heard of," really, I think, made sommeliers a subject of popular imagination and fascination, and people suddenly were interested. So I think if something like this cheating scandal had happened before that movie had come out, it might not have resonated the way it's resonating now.
Yeah, very much so. And it's really such a narrow group of people that would make this effort to achieve this goal to begin with, and the amount of time and effort that goes into it. It did have, prior to these revelations, a sort of pristine reputation that, this was, there had never been any kind of taint on this program before, had there?
No, not never. And I think now we're all wondering, is this revelation of cheating, has it happened before?
Yeah.
That's the question we're all asking, and we still don't know the answers. The Court of Master Sommeliers has been notably silent. They won't return my calls, my emails. So they're choosing not to speak.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Interesting. What in your mind would motivate someone to give away information on the test?
It's hard to know. Money is one possibility. I think another possibility is, and again, this is my speculation. This isn't confirmed information. I don't want anyone to interpret it that way. Mm-hmm. But I think one possibility is that you expect once someone becomes a master sommelier that they're going to be in control of beverage programs, right? They're going to have buying power mm-hmm. for maybe a restaurant, master sommeliers hold a range of jobs, but I wonder, does someone just want to generally curry favor with someone who's going to be in a powerful position and be in a position to buy a lot of wine? I think that's a possibility. Did money change hands? I don't know. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. Now, if the Court of Master Sommeliers won't talk to you, how much further can your investigation into this go, and are you still pursuing it?
Still pursuing it very actively, and I'm still knocking on the Court of Master Sommeliers door, talking as much as I can to other sommeliers, though many people are not really comfortable speaking on the record, so that's a challenge. I think, however, things are trickling out. So the 19 of the 23 whose titles were revoked wrote a letter to the Court of Master Sommeliers. The Chicago Tribune obtained that letter and broke that update in the story. I would not be surprised if we see a lawsuit come out of this. So if that happens, we'll certainly do our best to report on that, and we'll have access to some of those records, I expect. But until then, we'll see. I think at some point, someone has to talk. And at some point, the Court of Master Sommeliers America will have to revoke some existing Master Sommelier's title. Their website still hasn't been updated. But at some point, they'll have to do that, and they'll have to own up to that, I think.
Hmm. And it would be most likely someone who's had their test results invalidated who might sue the court?
Yeah, I think the folks whose test results have recently been invalidated.
Yeah.
You know, if the court can't prove that a certain one of them cheated,
exactly.
I think who knows? We'll see. I don't know what the court's bylaws are.
It's a fascinating story. Tempest in a teapot is a phrase that keeps coming up for, for this very small group of people this actually affects. It doesn't affect anybody who's, working in the wine industry necessarily in general or buying wine or, it's not a question of product quality or, it's not a forged wine story. It's just somebody was trying to get some advantage somehow by giving these results away, and we don't really understand the motivations or whether it really impacted the outcome. We wouldn't even know for sure that any of these people benefited from having this additional information, do we?
Who knows?
Yeah.
It's hard to know. And I think it really can be hard to grasp the mood around this if you're not embedded in the wine world.
Right.
But I really will just say people are reeling from it. People are still shocked. People are still talking about it. Forums are going wild. And I've never seen the sommelier world react to any news story with the emotion that we've seen for this story.
Yeah. Big news. Esther Mobley, who broke the story for the San Francisco Chronicle back on, I think it was the 9th of October, and it's become really something enormous within the wine industry. If I can, a quick question on the way out here. What are you hearing about the 2018 vintage? It certainly seems like an unusual year, incredibly long hang time. What are people saying about it?
I've heard really great things about the 2018 vintage. Mendocino County, Lake County, the fires really impacted their harvests. And I think I've been covering an ongoing saga of questions about smoke taint. But in Napa and Sonoma, I've heard the harvest was great. People were really relieved that the harvest came a little later this year after a string of really early vintages. And at the longer hang time, I think we'll see will really have a positive impact on flavor development, and I think it should be a really promising year.
Yeah. It seems like there's still a lot of fruit out there.
Well, you would know better than I. You live up there, and you can probably drive by some. But,
exactly. It was a windshield survey, as you could say, just noticing still, some areas are really fully picked out and others are definitely not. So it's an odd year.
Yeah, it is an odd year. And I know people who were still harvesting Pinot Noir and Chardonnay last week.
Yeah.
And that's really late for that. So certainly places like Napa where you see more later ripening varieties like Cabernet Sauvignon.
Right.
But I think after some really challenging years, and not that this year was without its challenges in Northern California, my sense is that winemakers in Napa and Sonoma are relieved to have a vintage that feels a little more normal.
Yeah. Very good. Esther, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Barry. Great to talk to you, as always.
Indeed. Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye. It's 8:51 and time for a break. We're going to come back with final words on today's show after these important messages and some sports coming your way as well with Ira in just a second.
For 25 years, the Polyclass Foundation has been helping families to find their missing children. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we are always here for families in need. Hi, it's Rainey Howe. The Polyclass Foundation has helped to bring over 10,000 missing children home safely. We've distributed over 250,000 child safety kits and have provided social media safety education to thousands of local students. We helped implement the Amber Alert in all 50 states and continue to advocate for legislation that keeps kids safe. For 25 years, the Polyclass Foundation has provided free programs and services to help keep kids safe and bring missing children home. And we could not have done it without your support. If you have a vehicle you no longer need, please give us a call. We make donating easy, and you'll receive the maximum tax deduction. Call the Polyclass Foundation today at 707-769-1334 or go to polyclass.org. Thanks for your support.
You trust doctors? Doctors trust us. Not every health plan can claim it was created by doctors. You know, the ones who can literally save your life? Western Health Advantage was founded by doctors, which means we do things the right way for the right reasons. We care about the health of each of our members, providing access to